Well, good morning. Boy, this has been a challenging passage to look into, practically for myself. So we've been looking at Taste and See, the prayer series. And Rob kicked us off with talking about Abraham and the fact that Abraham prayed with God's heart for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if there were 10 righteous people, don't destroy the city. And so he argued the case for not destroying the city. So Abraham was praying with God's heart. He wanted people to be saved. Tertullian last week shared about Jacob and how his interaction with God, his communication with God, changed the way he walked for the rest of his life. When we interact with God, we can change, come away different from when we go into meeting with the Lord. This week, we're looking at Moses, God's friend, who always desires more. He wants more from his interaction with God. Now, the background to where this passage is written that Trish read for us is 3 months after the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, a short space of time. And God did so many miracles in that time. There were so many highs and there were also some lows in that time frame. And so we're going to some of the highs was getting out of Egypt was a big high, crossing the Red Sea, seeing the water either side, and God providing food and water in the desert. The giving of the Ten Commandments was all highs in the children of Israel's life. But there was also the lows. They grumbled and whinged and whined. They also made a golden calf to focus their faith on. Even after a direct warning not to go down that path. So Moses, this time period, Moses had interceded for his people, the children of Israel. And it was an intense interaction. And he went into bat and he for the children of Israel, and he went in hard. But he recognized his need for God throughout all this. He was placed as this leader, and he recognized, God, I can't do this by myself. I need your help to lead this people. So we're going to look at a few instances of how Moses interacted with God. But let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you want us to spend time with you, that you want to change our lives, that you want us to share what's going on in our lives. And I thank you that you've got broad shoulders. You can deal with our emotions and the heights and lows of what's going on in our lives. You understand us completely. And so as we look at this passage this morning, I pray that we might all be inspired to spend time with you, connect in with you, share what's going on in our lives, and that your name might make us might be honored and glorified, and that we might adjust our living to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ day by day. In your name, amen. What's your favorite way of approaching God, spending time with God? I've got a friend who likes to go bush, and every month or 2 months or 3 months, he goes bush and he spends time. He takes his Bible and he spends time with God. And on the way home, he stops at his favorite coffee shop and has a coffee with God. And that's a really beautiful thing. Some people like to go camping in nature and enjoy the beautiful scenery and acknowledge God in that and say, see where God is working in their lives, and they're sharing their hearts with God. Some people like to go for prayer walks, and it might be in the bush, it might be in nature, it might be around the block, it might be to a local park. Some people have a favorite chair, so they don't even get out of the house. They've got a favorite chair that they sit in, and that's the chair I spend time with God in. Or it might be out on the back veranda. I know someone else who sits out the back and spends time with God, does their Bible reading. So it might be a chair. It might be a prayer closet or a room in the house that you say, this is my special place that I'm going to meet with God. I know someone very close to me, and when he wakes up in the morning, he pretends to be asleep. And if he's lucky enough, his wife might get up and make a coffee for him. And when he rolls over, he'll grab his Bible, read a few verses, say a few prayers, and then he gets on his way. As I've said, I've been challenged with this passage. Moses, he was a bit more intentional than that. He set a tent outside of the camp, and he was purposeful and intentional. He wanted to spend time with God, and he made it available for anyone. It wasn't just the super Christians who went out into this tent. This tent was for anyone who wanted to inquire of God. The fact that God is approachable, God wants to spend time with us. When Moses went out to this tent, it seemed as though the whole camp said, hey, get up, come on. He's getting out. He's coming out to the tent now. Come and have a look. And everyone stood at the doorway of their tent and watched Moses go into this tent of meeting. And they stood with reverence and respect and awe and a sense of worship. Moses was going to speak with God as though he was speaking face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Now, we know that you can't see God, but there was a physical representation of God. A cloud came down over the tent, and everyone stood in awe and said, God's meeting with our leader. God's meeting with our man. How do you approach God? Do you have an intentional way of going and spending time with God? Do you do it with reverence and respect and awe? There's a commentator called Tozer who said, when I pray, I can't do anything but talk to God with these and thous, because he thought that was a sign of respect. And so we can come with respect and honor and give God the glory that he deserves. Or we can talk to God like a friend, casually, and just interacting and saying, hey, this is what's going on in my life. When Moses approached God, boy, he didn't hold back. If you read back in Exodus 32, he said things like this: why did your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? He laid it on the line. And that's what Abraham did as well. He argued with God. He said, what about the righteous people living in Sodom and Gomorrah? What about them? You can't do that. You can't destroy them. And so they went into to bat with God and tried to challenge God and tried to change his mind. And Moses said, what will the other nations think if you destroy the people that you've just brought out 3 months prior? What are you going to do about that? Now, these same people who, Abraham and Moses, who argued with God, who challenged God and said, don't you remember, these are your chosen people? They're the same people that Moses took off his sandals at a burning bush and fell to his knees in reverence and awe because this ground was holy. This is the Abraham who fell to his knees under a starry sky, acknowledging that God had promised to make his family as wide, as many as the stars in the sky. And so he bowed in worship and acknowledged God was so much higher than his mere thinking. And so there's a balance here. You can come to God with reverence and awe and respect and worship. And you can come to God as a friend and emotionally unburden yourself with him and say, all the stuff that's going on in your life and say, God, what's happening here? Look at all this rubbish that's happening around me. God knows each one of you personally. He knows your situation. He knows what you're going through. And he's able to help you through it. He's got a plan for your life. And he wants you to unburden. He wants you to share with him the things that are going on inside. And so this tent of meeting that Moses went to, he talked with God as though he was talking to a friend. I said, God, but I don't know what's going on here. I need your help. A good idea is when you're inquiring of God to not do it from your bedside. Like if I'm going to talk to Fletcher or Brad or Jono or someone and said, come over, I want to spend some time with you. I've got something to discuss. And when you come in, come upstairs and there's a chair beside my bed and I'll talk to you. No, it's never going to happen. No, I'm not going to do that. When I've got a meeting with someone, with a friend, I get up in the morning, I get dressed, I've got a time that I've got to go and meet with this person, and I've got a place that I'm going to meet with them as well. And so I'd encourage you to be intentional with your meeting with God. You don't have to set a tent out the backyard. You can do it in your favorite chair, your favorite coffee shop, your favorite area in your house. But be intentional. Matthew 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Isn't that a beautiful way to go? A beautiful way to interact with God. You can do it with reverence, or your emotions might be right up there, and you can just blurt everything out to God. A beautiful way to go. Moses was intentional. Don't you hate it when someone comes to you and says, I want to talk to you? It's terrible, isn't it? You say, what's going on? Joe does this to me all the time. He comes up to me and says, I want to talk to you. I'm going to see you later at morning tea, and I want a word. And I think, ah, what have I done now? Ah, no. No one likes a conversation to start with a whinge. But that's what Moses did with God. He said, I want to talk to you. I've got things on my agenda that I want to tick off. Why should your anger burn against your people who you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that you brought them out of Egypt just to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? God, remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, who you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Well, they're not there yet. They're not that numerous. And so you've got to keep your promise. And Moses just blurted his things out. You've been telling me to lead these people, but you've not given me any resources to do these things. In verse 12 of chapter 33, you've been giving me all these things to do, but I haven't been resourced well. You haven't been giving me a helper to do these things. You've said, I know you by name, and you've found favor with me. Well, if you're pleased with me, God, then teach me your ways. You know, God didn't need those whinging. In fact, I think God took a step back and said, yes, Moses, give it to me, sock it to me, I can take it, because what you're showing in your prayer is that you're in line with my thinking. Your heart is in line with mine. I want these people to grow and develop and to be mine and declare my love to the nations around. I want this to be. And God was just letting him go, letting him unburden, letting him vent all this emotions. So, and that's what prayer is all about. We can share with God. And it's not until we sometimes verbalize our feelings and our problems that it helps us to process things through and see things God's way. If you read through the Psalms, there's some emotional Psalms there that raise the fist up to God and say, what are you doing? And then they end up, you are sovereign. You are in control. I can trust you. And as soon as we verbalize it, it's things that help us to align ourselves with God. In Psalm 143, it says, let me hear of your unfailing love to me in the morning. Here's a person who sets a time aside in the morning. For I am trusting you. Show me the way to walk, for I have come to you in prayer. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you. This is exactly where God wants us to be. He wants us to be real and honest. He doesn't want us to put on a prayer voice, a holier-than-thou prayer voice with these and thous. He wants us to get down and be real with him, asking for his way through this mess. Isaiah 30, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. What a beautiful verse. And then when you hear that voice, walk you in it, you've got an action plan to do. You've got something to do. God's response to Moses was, yes, I made you leader, but no, I didn't leave you without anyone. I've given you something. I've given you someone to lead with you because I'm going with you. I am going to be your resource. I'm going to be your help. And you're not going to lead the people by yourself. I'm going to be your guide, just like I've done all the way up to this point. So Moses said, teach me your ways. Why? Because I want to know you. We all desire to know more about our favorite people, whether it's a celebrity, a movie star, or a sports person, or just someone, a media personality. We like to catch up on what they're doing, what they're eating, what do they like, what do they do in their free time. And you'd think Moses knew God already. But he wanted more. He wanted to know more about who God is. Everyone in the camp looked to Moses and said, there's a guy who's friends with God. But this friend, he wanted to know more about God. And so he says, reveal yourself to me. Make yourself known so that I can find favor in your eyes. I want to know you publicly. Personally, I want to know what pleases you. And God would have loved this request. I want to know you. So, well, that's exactly what I want too. I want to be known. God has outlined it through the writers in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glories of God. Or Romans 1 verse 20. Creation has revealed God to everyone so that no one has an excuse as to not to know God. I want to be known. And Moses is grabbing hold of this fact. Yes, I want to know you more. Moses wanted to personally know God so that he could make God known publicly. Trish read the words, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me or with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people? Wow. He wanted God's name to be known throughout the world. Everyone who looks at Moses or the children of Israel will say, God's taking care of this nation. And we can see that God is working for his own purposes. And there's a beautiful verse in Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. It says this, this is what the Lord said, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight. We know what God is like. We know what he likes, and we know he loves justice, mercy and tenderness, kindness. He wants us to look after the orphan and the widow and the foreigner, the alien in our midst. He wants us to care for the marginalized, the people in Crosslink. They're not just to be swept under the carpet and sidelined. They're a part of God's plan too, and they can recognize God's love. They can know God to be true and real in their lives as well. The flip side of Moses knowing God or wanting to know God is that God knows you. And he knows you personally and intimately and knows why you react the way you do when someone picks on you or niggles you or presses your buttons. He knows why you do those things, and he wants to inject his life into your life and show you his way of living and responding. What a great privilege it is to know our Heavenly Father. You know, people travel hours to see a glorious sunset or a majestic sunrise. They get up at the crack of dawn to see a majestic sunrise. Or they go to amazing lengths to see a total eclipse of the sun. They organize their wedding around that time and do crazy things to see this memorable sight and to experience something that's unique and amazing. Well, Moses wants even more. He just doesn't want to know God's ways. He just doesn't want to know God personally to make him public. He wants even more. And I believe God is so enjoying this interaction. Yes, he wants to know more. But you think, Moses has seen the burning bush. He's seen miracles happen. He saw the plagues in Egypt and how Pharaoh was brought down to his knees. Power struggle, amazing. He saw them, the Israelites, walking out of Egypt, collecting gold and silver and trinkets from the Egyptians who they'd served for so many years. It was incredible. And then when they got trapped at the Red Sea, God opened the waters and allowed them to go through. Hadn't Moses seen enough of God's glory? These were amazing things, and yet he wanted more. The Israelites, they wanted something tangible to see as well, something tangible to look at and hang their faith on. And the thing that they did was they went to Moses and said, we need something to hang our faith on. Aaron, sorry, did I say Moses? Thank you, Ross. I'm glad someone's listening at least. That's a trick. I just threw that in, see who would react. The children of Israel went to Aaron, the high priest, and said, make for us a golden calf that we can hang our faith on. And that got them into a whole mess of trouble. Moses went to the right person to ask. He went to God and said, reveal, show me your glory. I want something more to hang my faith onto than just seeing these miraculous things. I want to see you. Now, Trish said that he met with him face to face in the tent of meeting, but there was the cloud that had come down that represented God. Moses said, show me your glory. No one has ever seen God, except I did hear about a kindergarten teacher who had a little boy who was colouring in furiously, and the kindergarten teacher said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher said, well, no one knows what God's like, and so you don't know what he looks like. And the little boy looked up and squarely in her eyes said, well, I haven't finished my picture yet, have I? When I finish, then you can see God on what he looks like. Moses wanted to see God. And remember, what did God do? God said, well, you can't see my face, but I'm going to show you my glory. Just like the plane up in the picture, you can't see the power or hear the power and the thrust of the jet engines, but you can see the trail behind. and you don't even know who's in the plane up there, but you can see evidence of the power of a jet plane. And so Moses asked God to reveal his glory. And it was God who provided a place for Moses. It was God who placed Moses in the split in the rock. And it was God who covered Moses up with his hands. And then until God passed by, he removed his hands and God revealed his trailing glory. You know, God wants us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of who he is. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show his way. He wants to be known, and he wants to share his glory. So I'd like to challenge you today to be intentional in your meeting with God, and not just stay in bed and roll over and pick the Bible up, but have a place to go to, whether it's once a week or a fortnight or a month. Have that place and have a date with God. Have a special time with God. Share your heart and also spend time to ask God to inject his way into your life. Don't do all the talking. Some people love talking when they're praying, but spend that quiet time in waiting for God's response. Now, I'm going to encourage the people online who's joined with us to spend some time remembering the Lord Jesus. It doesn't have to be stiff and formal and highfalutin talk. You can just be talking normally to God. And so we're going to spend time with God too. So let's pray, and it's important to spend our time with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Moses' experience. I thank you that he was intentional in meeting with you. I thank you that it was a regular habit and that he opened his heart to you and you revealed your ways to him. Lord, I pray for everyone here. I thank you that you are approachable and that everyone here can approach you and share with you where they're at with you. And I just pray that you might instill your peace, your presence, your encouragement that you are going through our experiences with us. And so I thank you, and I pray that this remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died in our place, might be honoring and lifting to you. In your holy and precious name, amen. Now we're going to enter into a time of communion. Please share, feel free to share. Remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's not focus on ourselves, but remember the sacrifice that he made, the great sacrifice, the fact that he made himself known to each one of us. In John 1, it said, "We have seen his glory, this glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's remember and lift our Lord's name on high.